All right, Matthew 28. We're talking about following Jesus. Following Jesus. And as we follow him, we are becoming like him. His nature becomes our nature. And last week we saw that his love is what dominates our life. A new commandment Jesus gave us, and that is to love one another as he loved us. Not as mom loved us or a friend loves us, but as Jesus loves us, we return that love. And that is how the world knows that we're followers of Jesus. Now, there's another characteristic of Jesus that we want to see today and how that can be a part of our life and our lifestyle in a very practical way. Now, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we want to see there another set of commandments, another set of a lifestyle example that Jesus gives us that we're going to see today and how to implement that in our life. Because a disciple is not someone who just knows what the rabbi knows, but they do what the rabbi does. And so it wasn't a classroom education. It was to model behavior. And the disciples endeavored to do that. And they did, thank God. But let's look at a passage in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and there is there are three verbs that Jesus did that all of the Gospels basically have the same statement. And to say what Jesus did as he touched the lives of people. Matthew 4 and verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Say teaching. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Say preaching. And healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Everybody say healing. So this phrase, this kind of synopsis of the ministry of Jesus was given by all the gospel writers, that Jesus went teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, when you read the gospels, you can find teaching, preaching, and healing on every page of the gospels. Arguably, that's what Jesus did. Maybe there was a few exceptions. He turned the water into wine. Maybe that wasn't exactly healing or teaching. Maybe it was a teaching opportunity, but virtually everything he did was teaching, preaching, and healing. And so when we read the Gospels and we see that Jesus did that, our first response is, isn't Jesus awesome? Yay for Jesus. Okay? And so Jesus did that as a demonstration of God's heart, that God wants us to learn about his kingdom. We need to unlearn the ways that we know right now. And so we have teaching from Jesus, preaching or proclamation, declaration to announce certain things. And so there's things that we don't know that we need to be, that he needs to announce into our life. And healing of broken bodies, of sickness, of things in people's lives that God did not intend for them to have. And so he came to undo that. And to heal and to fix. So we see him doing that. Now, those that were with him, his disciples, the 12, but then also some other layers of disciples, some other bigger groups of disciples, he gave them this command. Look at Luke chapter 9. Because remember, if you're a disciple, you don't just sit in the stands and cheer the rabbi on. You become like your rabbi and you duplicate who he is. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons. Aren't you glad he did? Not half of demons. And then there's those 5% of demons that you need a major prophet to get off your line. Huh? Is that what Jesus? No. He gave us power over all demons. I'm so glad. and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs nor bag nor bread for money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So Jesus was somewhere, but yet his disciples were now duplicating what Jesus did. Isn't that better? Because Jesus at the time, he could only be in one place at one time. And now there are many Jesuses. There are those who have been authorized by him and sent by him. And there was another time Jesus authorized 70 to go and do this very same thing. They came back and they basically said, Jesus, it was awesome. You should have been there. Let me show you the video, Jesus. Even the demons obeyed us. And he gave him a lesson. And he said, hey, guys, that is so cool. I know I gave you that authority. But here, I want to make sure that you rejoice about your salvation. Not that demons listen to you. I mean, that's just small fry stuff. Okay, but rejoice and be joyful about your salvation. All right. So they realized that because of what Jesus had authorized them to do, they could do it in his name. They could do it in his power and with his anointing. Amen. Now, so yay for Jesus. Yay for those first disciples. Yay. Boy, Pastor, this is really interesting today. I'm really enjoying hearing about Jesus and the disciples. All right, now tell your neighbor, now it's you. Look at John 14. John 14. Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. All right, now before we see what that person does, who is Jesus talking about? He who believes in me. Is he talking to pastors? To bishops or prophets or evangelists? Is he talking only to those people that could hear his voice physically 2,000 years ago? Jesus said, he who believes in me. How many of you have put your faith in Jesus Christ to be his follower? How many of you have done that? Come on now. If you're a follower of Jesus, if Jesus changed your life, that's a lot of hands, isn't it? All right, now guess what? Jesus is about to talk to you. Right now. He is talking. You are the audience. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Yeah, somebody got it over there. That's you. The works that Jesus did, you will do also. So in summary, what were those works? They were teaching, preaching, and healing. Everybody say, that's what I do. Tell your neighbor, I do that. Yeah. That's normal Christianity. That's a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, if you believe in me, then the works that I do, you will do also. Now, it's happened at various times in church history where kind of like, I refer to it sometimes as kind of rock star Christianity. You know, you go to the concert, you see the rock star, and you're just like, oh, that is so awesome. Man, I wish I could sing like that. I wish I could dance like that. I wish I could be rich like that. Right? And so you're just kind of a hanger-oner. You're a wannabe. Right? And in Christianity, we do that sometimes. There was a time called the Dark Ages where the people in charge said, hey, wait a second. We don't want everybody to read the Bible. So we're going to put it in a language that people can't understand other than us. And so we're going to be the champions and we're going to keep the truth locked away and keep people dumb, foolish, and ignorant. And thank God a priest named Martin Luther, who could read the Bible, opened it up and said, whoa, that's not how it works. And then a guy named Wycliffe said, I'm going to translate the Bible into vernacular. And he died for it. Imagine that. You die for just getting the word of God into the hearts of people. And so I'm so glad that things have changed since then. But sometimes even today, teaching, preaching, and healing. Oh, let's leave that to the experts. You know, somebody wants to expound on scriptures. Can I see your seminary degree? Laying hands on the sick. What special anointing do you have to do that? Has your spiritual father authorized you? I was commissioned by Jesus Christ when I followed him to teach, to preach, and to heal. Say, that's what I do. Now, there are those that God calls and gives, you could say, a special grace or something to do in that line for him. And so and the Bible makes it clear, are all apostles? You know, are all pastors? No. All right. And so there are people that he sets apart, okay, and they do certain things. But everybody gets to teach, preach, and heal. Everybody. Now, in the same way as, you know, Benny Hinn or somebody who expounds about, not in exactly the same way, but this is the ministry of every follower of Jesus. He who believes in me is called to do the works of Jesus. In fact, folks, that's how we got our name, Christians. In the first century church, people used it as a derogatory statement. Oh, those little Christs. Well, what was it about Jesus that reminded non-Christians enough about Jesus to call them little Christs? Amen. So what Jesus did, we do this. All right. So let's look at those three areas. Teaching, preaching, and healing. All right. So we see that in Matthew 28, we've been reading this every time, is that a disciple is taught to do. A disciple is taught to do. But then a disciple then turns around and does that for someone else. We teach someone else to do. So what we learn, we give it away. Freely you've received, freely give. I don't see Brenda Bessa. She's in second service. But we've got a young guy at the church, and so he's in doing engineering in India. And so where he was, and he's doing this, he's a college-age kid from Miracle Life. And so there was not a campus ministry on that campus, and he really couldn't find a church. So he just started something himself. And he's not a pastor. He's not a reverend or a bishop. But he just gathered some people together who were Christians, and he just gets my sermons and he preaches them. Probably better than me. And then he writes me and says, hey, Pastor, I was thinking about sharing on such and such. Do you have any stuff? And so I've got all my sermons for Miracle Life for the last 12 years on my. So I just sent him stuff, sent him scriptures, sent him sermons. He's like, oh, thanks, Pastor. And then he came here, the bookshop, and I said, hey, just buy 500 kwacha worth of books. It's a gift from us. So he went back to India with all these books. What is he doing? Teaching the Bible. Oh, has he been to Bible school? No. He's a believer. He's taking what he knows and he's teaching it to somebody else. I've told you this story, but one of the missionaries from our church, Womba Kantamoya, she's in Australia now. She went to China and ministered in house churches. And she came back and she told the church, she said, if you've been in Miracle Life for 6 months, you know more of the Bible than the pastors in those home churches. Why? No access to the Bible. No access to so many things. And so what did she do? what she learned, she gave it away. Now, if you are a mom or a dad, you are called to be an anointed Bible teacher. Right? We've already seen that. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them. And this was not spoken to pastors. This was spoken to parents. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Who? Moms and dads. All the moms and dads, put up your hand. Say, I'm a Bible teacher. I'm awesome. My kids hang on every word. Yeah, you're a Bible teacher. Yeah. You shall talk of them, that is the word of God, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So if you're, the day that you became a parent, you became a Bible teacher. You received that task. All right. But we can also, yes, we have that responsibility for our kids, but just in our key relationships. And let me encourage you that, how many of you know a lot of the teaching of Jesus was not on a stage from behind a pulpit? Now, the Sermon on the Mount, there are a few times he took a boat out onto to the lake so people could hear him. There were times where you could say it was kind of like an official sermon. But so much of the teaching of Jesus was real life situations. Real life situations with people and with his friends. People that he met. And so you can be a Bible teacher at work. Somebody says something about the Bible. Somebody says something about this. And it's not to be a lawyer or a critic, but it's to say, you know what? Actually, Jesus said in John 14, yeah. Somebody, you may overhear somebody say, well, you know, I'm trusting the Lord, but I doubt it will happen. Well, hey, you know what Jesus said? He said, whatever you ask, believing, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. You can be assured. Why? What are you doing? I know that. And it seems like they don't know that. So all I'm doing is I want to help them to know what I know. Amen? God called our life not to be a stinking swamp where water is coming in and there's no outlet. We need the word of God and the bread of life coming into our life, and we need to be giving it away. There needs to be a flow in our life. We're called to be rivers, not stinky swamps. Amen. Christians who don't share what they have, they become critical. They become legalistic because they're not taking it out into the real world. Take what you know and give it away. All right. So what you know by walking with Jesus, what you have learned trusting him, helping people who are walking on the road that is with you, or perhaps they're in a sense behind you. So you've already walked through some things, and so you help that. Sometimes people call that mentoring, is that you help people to know what you know. Now, sometimes you can also teach and share what, out of the experiences that you've had, some of the tough things, some of the trials, some of the valleys that you've walked through. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is one of the ways where God can take what was sent for evil and turn it for good. Okay, and always remember, the evil that came was for evil. Okay, it wasn't God teaching you a lesson, all right? But then he can redeem it. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Aren't you glad he's a merciful Father? Verse 4, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Empathy is so easy to give when you see someone who is walking through something that you walk through. People who are judgmental of divorcees have never been divorced. Just saying. Okay. But if you've been through some stuff and the scars are there, but you're healed and you're whole, hey, find people that are going through the same stuff. And with the comfort you've received, you're able to comfort them. It came from God. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He has that power, but you can give it to others. Secondly, preaching. Preaching. Now, sometimes when we think of teaching and preaching, teaching is calm and preaching is crazy. And then sometimes we, oh man, he was really preaching today. Well, preaching, in what that word is, it means to proclaim. It means to announce. Obviously, teaching has an idea of explanation. It has an idea of learning, kind of breaking it down. Preaching is announcing. It is proclaiming. Imagine if your job, wouldn't it be cool if you worked at a place where your job was just to call all the people who had won the free cell time? I'm calling to let you know you got free cell time. You would be a preacher. You are proclaiming good news. You're just letting people know about something awesome that's going on. All right. The when Chipolopolo wins and the newsreader on ZNBC announces, I'm happy to announce you, we won 2-0. He is a preacher. He is announcing good news. The news has already happened. All I'm doing is letting you know about it. That's what preaching is. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now, proclaiming Jesus many, many times is preaching or proclaiming him to people who are not aware of him. Preaching, proclaiming him to people who are not yet his followers. We could say they're in the dark. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are perishing. And it is good news. It is good news to those who don't know it. And here, I want to read this whole passage, but wonderful account, and I think this can be a great model of how we can announce, how we can proclaim to people just in our normal everyday life. And this was Philip, a follower of Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And I tell you what, Philip was also a good dad. He had 5 daughters. The Bible says they were 2 things. They were virgins and they prophesied. Good for Philip. Good dad. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is the desert. So go to the desert. So he arose and went. He obeyed the Lord. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, had charge of all her treasury. So this was the minister of finance from Ethiopia. This was a big dog dude, right? And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him. That's fast running. And heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" Then he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: "And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? From his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask of you, whom does the prophet say this of himself and some other man?" Oh boy, that's a setup, isn't it? Who's this guy? Philip's like, "Hey, I know this guy. I can tell you." So he's asking. Then Philip opened his mouth and began, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Preached Jesus. He proclaimed a person. Notice he wasn't having a Bible lesson. He was preaching Jesus. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Did he believe that before Philip told him? He didn't know about Jesus, did he? He was curious about God. He was curious about the scriptures, right? So he commanded that the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. That's immersion, baby. Baptizo. And he baptized him. So notice what happens in this account with Philip. All right. So Philip is listening to God. He's obeying God. And so now maybe an angel doesn't appear to you, but the Holy Spirit certainly can nudge you. Go speak to that person. Go talk to that person. "Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's just me." Well, guess what? If it's just you and you disobeyed God by telling them about Jesus, God will forgive you. Just go ahead and do it. Worst case scenario, they hear about Jesus. But follow those nudges. Listen to those things that God is speaking to you, people in your life. And God will prompt you if you know this is my job. This is my job. It's not the job of the preacher alone. It's not the job of the TV person alone. It's my job. All right. So he took the opportunity to bring Jesus into the conversation. Now, there are definitely people that if you are around them long enough, you will find that they have an interest about God, an interest about the things of God. All right. Now, I think we can preach to anybody, but there are these moments where God sets you up to speak to people that are, in a sense, ready or looking. Or the Bible says, you know, some plant a seed, some water, but God gives the increase. Talking about Paul and Apollos. And so you may be the person that just simply keeps planting seed in a certain person's life. I know one time, my wife and I, when we were at Rhema, and that we had like a Saturday afternoon street witnessing thing a couple times. And so we went out on that, went to kind of a rough part of town, and we were knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus. And this lady just had been devastated and broken in her life and all, just a whole mess. But when we knocked on her door, I said, "Hey, we'd just like to talk to you about Jesus if you'd like to hear." And she said, "Who sent you? How did you know?" Well, a whole bunch of people, and there had been other churches that had been talking to her about Jesus, and we were simply there for the reaping. Oh, she was gloriously saved. Now, there was a whole lot that we didn't do, that people had been speaking to her and praying with her and had already been ministering to her. And then God. And so you don't know where you are in the process, but just say, "Hey, God, I'm going to be used by you." And so here Philip was, you know, he proclaimed Jesus, made it a little more clear, and then he was there for the final deal. When we were building this building, we had a Chinese contractor, and the guy that was the foreman here that we got to know very, very well, Kevin. And so we had, you know, lots of meetings, and probably by the time our building was nearing completion, I was probably not the best person to tell him about Jesus. Because we had, let's just say, a lot of discussions about a whole lot of things. And he's a great young man. Actually, I just talked to him a few days ago. He's on the Copper Belt. But he became more and more interested in Jesus. More and more interested in what's going on at the church. And he was here a lot. And so then our staff was here when we moved here. And so he began conversing. And so there's a lady that was working in our bookshop that just began talking to him more and more and more. Led him to the Lord. He gave his heart to Jesus. "Oh, I tell you, these people that are coming to see, all these people, rah, rah, I tell you, these people, they're here so we can tell them about Jesus." People that are coming from a place where the gospel is forbidden largely, and they're coming to a Christian nation. Yeah. Woo, they should not get our contempt. They should get preaching in their face, up in their grill. Love, mercy, acts of kindness. And so this was someone on our staff working in the bookshop. They weren't a pastor. They weren't called to the fifth heaven of evangelistic ministry. They were just someone that God was using that was interested in another human being that was fairly different than them. And just kept talking about Jesus, answering questions. Finally to the part where, like the Ethiopian, I believe. Let's do this deal. And so we loaded him up with books and he's following Jesus. When my daughter was here just now for a couple weeks, and so when she was at going to college now, and she said, Dad, you know, I just feel when I was here at school, there were a couple people that I really feel like I could have talked to more about Jesus. And so one of them I'm going to see. And so she came back and I said, Jess, how did she go? How did it go? She says, oh, Dad, it was incredible. They asked me questions about Jesus. I didn't even have to bring him up. And this is a person who it seems as though has very, very, very little knowledge about Jesus Christ. Virtually none. Right here in the middle of Lusaka in a Christian nation. Do you realize that when the late President Chiluba declared Zambia a Christian nation, the 80% of unbelievers didn't wake up the next morning. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. That didn't happen. We have to preach Jesus. We have to proclaim him. And thank God for all the incredible churches in this city. But I don't know about you, but most people who don't know Jesus don't go to church. Why? They don't want to go to church. So we've got to go get them. We've got to go get them. Amen? Hallelujah. So Andrew, when he met Jesus, what did he do? He told his brother. Oh man, I got to introduce you to Jesus. I got to let you know what's happened to me. And aren't you glad Andrew told his brother? Wow, we're blessed because of that. And then the other activity that Jesus did, so he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing, physically healing the sick. Now, when you read the Gospels, you come away with a realization, God cares deeply about sick people. He cares deeply about people who are suffering physical pain. Because Jesus did it all the time. He was moved with compassion over and over again towards those who were suffering. And people who are suffering can get help in Jesus. Someone who spoke a lot into my life. I went to his university. Oral Roberts coined this phrase. He's a healing Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. He was, and he still is a healing Jesus. Well, yeah, I really wish Jesus was back so he could be healing again. He is here. He's in you. He is in you. Mark chapter 16. So the different gospels bring out different things of what Jesus said before he left, and they're a big deal. And this is Mark's account of what Jesus said before he left. So he spoke to his disciples, Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there's going to be these signs that follow. And one of them, look down in verse 18 at the end. They, that is those who are sent, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Those that believe in Jesus are called into the healing ministry of Jesus. They're called into the healing ministry. Now, we could talk a whole lot about what that looks like and what to do, but here's where you start. Lay hands on sick people. Lay hands on sick people. Now, following the ministry of Jesus, Jesus did it with their permission. Okay, so I don't necessarily advise that you just kind of walk down the street and kind of assault people in Jesus' name. Okay? But as you're engaging people, and many, many times, right, when people are hurting, when they're suffering, we tend to find out about it, right? Or they say, oh, I've got this splitting headache. Hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And I'm trying to think in just my lifetime, I really can't remember too many people that have ever said, no, thank you. Maybe one or two. But most people who don't even know Jesus, sure, yeah, give me whatever you got, you know. And just grab them by the hand and pray a prayer. And use the phrase, in Jesus' name. Because why? Because you've been authorized. You've been authorized. Well, what if they don't get well? Well, guess what? That is not your problem. I like what Brother Hagin said. I can't heal a flea. Okay, so it is not up to you to get them healed. You pray for the sick. You lay hands on the sick. Amen? You trust God. Oh, but I don't understand. Don't worry about understanding. Nobody's got all the answers. But we have a command. We have a command. And let me tell you, in my opinion, Zambia is one of the easiest places on planet Earth for people to receive healing. I'm telling you. America? Not so much. Because we want to figure it out up here. Okay? But just say, hey, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for healing. Father, you commissioned me to lay hands on the sick. I rebuke this sickness and disease in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord, right now. And just do that. Do it all the time. Amen? I tell you, my mom, as a kid, she embarrassed me terribly. But she'd just pray for the sick at the grocery store, anywhere. She was crazy. All right? But you know what? People got healed. People got healed. Remember one time at the old building, somebody, and we were doing something, and they had come with a family member, and this lady just was visiting, and she came up to me and said, would Jesus heal a Hindu? And she was still a Hindu. Of course Jesus would heal a Hindu. So what did you do? Pray for her. What if her demons got on you? No. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The yoke doesn't break the anointing. Lay hands. And what Jesus is telling us is that broken people can be fixed. Broken people can be fixed. There's nothing that's too far from him that it can't be healed. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. So this is Jesus reading from Isaiah about himself. But how many of you know now we have that in the church? We're anointed. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Healing of broken lives, to fix it. Now, I know sometimes, you know, it's nice just to kind of pat somebody on the hand and say, I love you. And that's good, and we should do that. But also, tell them that you love them. Yes, bring them food and care. But bring the healing power of God. Bring the power that fixes their brokenness. And so we see that Jesus was anointed, obviously, to heal the sick. But here it says that we're anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes people's greatest condition is not necessarily what's going on in their bodies, but what's going on in their heart. And they're broken individuals. They don't have to stay broken. There's healing in Jesus. There's healing in you. Amen. And so one of the most natural things is when we're suffering, we're hurting, when thank God we've got hospitals and clinics and doctors and nurses. But the Bible says that Jesus is the great physician. He's the great fixer. He's the great mender. So I want to encourage you. And you will be amazed at what God will do. Start in your home. Start in your home with your kids. Yes, go to the doctor. Yes, you know, get medicine that you need. Don't neglect that. But pray for your kids. Pray for your kids. Hey, come on, let's look to Jesus. We're gonna give this to Him right now. We're gonna trust Him for healing. And just rebuke that disease. Rebuke the fever off of your kids. Amen? And so start there, and then just start praying for people at work. Start praying for relatives. All right. I was telling you about my mom. She got to the point where, I mean, all of her distant relatives, they just call her. Somebody's in the hospital, they just call her. Because Emily knows Jesus. Now, half of them didn't get saved. But she'd go to the hospital and pray for them. Why? Because that was just her lifestyle. Amen. Let it be a part of our what we teach, we preach, and we heal. Now, as you do this, you may see that God, there may be one that you lean into a little more easy than another. But I want to encourage you, don't neglect the others. Don't neglect the others. I have an assignment and a gift from God for teaching. But guess what? I still have a responsibility for preaching and for healing. That's part of my believer's job description. And that's part of what we all are called to do. Amen? Now, here's what we're going to do. We did this last week. All right. How many of you did some of your love assignment? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. So there's a whole lot of love yet to be unleashed. All right. Was it cool? Anybody? Was it cool what you did? Did it work? Awesome. All right. Now, let's get out our notebook again. Let's get out our bulletin. We're going to write down 1, 2, 3 again. All right. So if you haven't done last week's assignment, then you're behind. And I'm a little bit behind myself. So here's what we're going to ask God to do. you may already know him. Okay. But we're going to put a name by teaching, preaching. You can put T-P-H. All right. But who's somebody in your life right now? And sometimes it's somebody who has already reached out to you. They already are asking questions. And you say, you know what? I am going to purposefully bring the Word of God into their life. I'm going to be a mentor. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to send them scriptures. I'm going to, whatever it is that you're going to do. All right. Might be somebody in your family. I have responsibility to do that in my family. Bigger than at Miracle Life. All right. So just write someone's name down there by teaching. All right. Put down a name. And then by P, who is someone in your life that perhaps you felt the tug of the Holy Spirit in the past? Share Jesus to them. Share Jesus to them. You know, and I know it's great. We have special events at church and we do, you know, worship night. People bring relatives and friends. That's awesome. And Easter, different things, or just bring them to a Sunday service. That's great. Keep doing that. But this preaching, for this one, you need to be the preacher. It's not just giving them a Joel Osteen book. Okay? God wants you to talk to them about Jesus. It could be someone in your life, like this Ethiopian eunuch, who's already asking questions, who's already has some inquiry about God. And is thinking along those lines, right? How many of you put a name under one? Teaching, you did? You put something for preaching? And then healing. Who's somebody in your life right now, and some of you could do it today, need to go visit them. Need to go visit and pray for them. Just share, you could share scripture too about healing. You could share what Jesus does. And I'm here and I want to pray for you. All right. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Three names. All right. All right. We good? Okay. Those of you that I haven't seen writing, your head needs to be like this for a bit. In your cell phone. Why, Pastor, I've got it in my mind. No, that doesn't work. Write it down. Okay. How many of you have written it down? Put your hand up if you've written it down. All right. Keep your hands up. All right. I'm going to call some of you out. Folks, this isn't for you. This isn't for your benefit. This is for them. God's anointed you. He's called you. He's equipped you. All right? So next week we're going to hear from some of these testimonies of what God's doing through our life. Amen? God wants to use us in ways that will boggle our mind. All right? And don't leave it to the professionals. Don't leave it to the professionals. And I'll just tell you from my perspective, when I'm in a public setting or a gathering or something like that sometimes, or I'm in a whatever, as soon as somebody says pastor or reverend, they all straighten up. I was playing golf one time with this guy and he kept missing putts and he kept cussing. Oh, I'm sorry, pastor. Sorry, pastor. You know, and finally he missed so many putts. And finally I told him, I said, you know what? I'd probably be cussing too if I missed so many putts. But people get nervous around preachers. Okay? But you're a cousin. You're an auntie. You're a coworker. You're a friend. And you're in their life strategically to bring Jesus to them. Amen. Let me close with this one story. Years and years ago at the old church, there was a family here that was doing ministry. They had a little girl, blonde hair. She was about 4 or 5 years old. And when she found out that people who are followers of Allah, Muslim people, when she found out that they don't know Jesus, it broke her heart. And she was so concerned. And so the easiest way that she could have to find a person who was Muslim was ladies who were wearing a burqa. And her mom said that they would just be in the shopping center or at a store, and all of a sudden where's her daughter? She's gone over to this lady. Hey, do you know about Jesus? One time she talked to a lady at the pharmacy, a 4-year-old talked to a Muslim lady for 20 minutes about Jesus Christ. Probably the most she's ever heard. Guess what? You're smarter than a 4-year-old. You can explain it better than a 4-year-old. Let's do our job. Amen. Let's let God use us. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you've called us, all of us, into the ministry of Jesus. To explain and to teach, to help people understand the scripture, understand the ways of Jesus. Father, to proclaim and announce his goodness and the gospel that came to us, Father, to proclaim that to others. And Father, also to drive out sickness and disease, to be a living testimony, to let people see and know Jesus is alive today and he cares for me. To heal their broken bodies. To heal their broken hearts. And Father, you're using regular people like us. People that go to school, that go to work, that drive cars, that walk. Father, wherever we are. Thank you, Lord, for these names that we've written down, Father. Lord, use us. Use us, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for doors of utterance. Lord, for the words to say. Father, thank you that we're plugged into the same Holy Spirit that does miracles. And he does them through our hands and through our words. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here in this place. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about being like him. But I want to assure you today that Jesus saves and Jesus heals. Jesus restores broken lives. He's still the same healing Jesus. And if you're in this place and you realize, I've never committed my life to him, I've never become a follower of his, but today I want to. You never said yes to him. It's not a matter of going to a church or doing something religious. Have you given him your heart? Have you invited him to forgive you? If you haven't, today is your day. Today is your day to know him and to meet him. Maybe you find yourself in a broken place in your life where because of disappointment or sin, where in a sense you kind of turned your back on God. You thought, God, you've disappointed me, and so I'm just not going to serve you anymore. Friend, come home. Come home. All that pain you experienced, it did not come from him. He loves you. He cares for you. And he is here to restore to heal, to fix, to mend, and He'll do it today. But He needs your invitation. He needs you to say yes. And that simply, friends, is all you have to do is put your faith in Him. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, or I'm far from Him, my life is just so messed up, but I want to give Him my heart, I want to give Him my life. Wherever you are right now, lift up your hand. Just wave it at me. Say, that's me, Pastor. Today, I'm giving my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Who else? Say, that's me. Thank you, sir. Wonderful. Who else? I'm coming home to Him. Thank you, sir. God bless you so much. Another way to kind of check your heart is tonight, if you were to slip into eternity, if you were to die, do you know where you'd go? Are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not, say yes to Jesus today. Before we pray, anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I need to know Him. God bless you. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's all stand to our feet. Those of you that lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I think I should have lifted up my hand, just come to the front right now. Grab your Bible, your handbag. Just come and say yes to Jesus. Come and follow Him with all your heart. Let's give these folks a big hand clap as they're coming. Oh, it's good to follow Jesus. It's good to know Him. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. So glad you came. So glad you came. Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Now, if I wanted to give you this Bible as a gift, you would just reach out, right, and receive it. So I want to encourage you right now, as we pray this prayer from our heart, just lift up one of your hands towards heaven, because we're going to receive from Him today. So just go ahead, let's lift up one of our hands and just say this with me. Say, God, I believe You love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He was punished for my sins. You raised Him from the dead so I could know You. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I follow You now for the rest of my life. Thank You, Jesus. I am in Your family. Amen. Amen. Whoa, what a great day.